This is Ray Martinez. Thank you for joining me today on the Bible Study Podcast. This is going to be titled, Jesus' Teaching on Anger. Have you ever been angry before? Was it a good anger? Was it a righteous anger? Or was it a very unhealthy anger? Anger is anger, I think, when you think about it, but there is such a thing as a righteous anger. It's an emotion that all humans experience, but it can also be harmful if not controlled. In Jesus' teaching, he speaks about anger and how we can manage it in a healthy way. So this podcast, we're going to explore what Jesus says about anger. Jesus' teaching on anger. Our reading today is from Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22, and it is our first stop about what Jesus says about anger, and that is, it can lead to sin. Well, we think that's a no-brainer, right? In Matthew 5, 21 through 22, which is our reading today, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable for judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment." Jesus teaching that anger can lead to sin. And this is a great example of what he's saying. He's saying that this anger is going to be judged just as much as actually committing the offense. So think about how, when we explore this area of anger, what this means. The second point is that he's saying that reconciliation is very important. In Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus says, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and sisters. Then come and offer your gift." Well, Jesus is clearly teaching that there has to be reconciliation and that it is important, even if it means setting aside our own pride. Now, some of you may be asking the question, what is reconciliation? The Bible contains many examples of people reconciling with one another after having an experienced deep hurt or division due to sin and misunderstanding. For example, Joseph forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery. Take a look at Genesis 45, verse 15. Jesus reconciled with Peter after Peter denied knowing him three times. Look at John 21, verse 15 through 17. The Greek word translated reconciliation literally means to change completely. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, the Bible states that sinners are alienated from God and enemies in their minds by wicked works. Yet God has provided reconciliation through Christ's death. What is the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation in the Bible? Well, the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation is that forgiveness requires nothing from the person we're forgiving. They don't even have to know we are forgiving them. Reconciliation, though, requires repentance from the offender. And even then, he or she does not dictate the terms of reconciliation. Now here's the third point. Forgiveness. It's essential. In Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22, Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone who has sinned against him. Jesus replies, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." Jesus teaching that forgiveness is essential, even if it means forgiving someone multiple times. Forgiveness is never ending. It never stops. The forgiveness has to be continuous. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, we have the command to be angry and yet do not sin. That's a tough one. This statement is probably referenced to Psalms chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, "Tremble and do not sin." This particular psalm is sometimes titled a night prayer or an evening prayer of trust in God. Verse 4 continues, When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. It wants you to kind of put it together. What was your day like? Do you owe some forgiveness to someone? And by all means, you'll get a good night's rest if you do the forgiveness. Perhaps this part of the Psalms was meant to help the prayerful reader resolve any anger issues in the heart before going to bed. Paul uses this Old Testament passage as a springboard for his command to not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger itself is not sin, but how we use it determines whether it's sinful or not. Legitimate righteous anger towards sin or injustice can be productive. Jesus exhibited righteous anger at times, mostly notably when he cleaned out his father's house, the temple. Read that story in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. But more often than not, anger becomes sinful because our own selfish interests and pride is motivated by it. Someone or something offends us and we lash out. We end up saying and doing things that we ought not. Anger rooted in our own sinfulness is dangerous and destructive to others and to ourselves. One thing that can turn anger into a sinful attitude is to allow it to continue to fester instead of acting on it in a righteous manner. Our exhortation is to not let the sun go down on our anger, or as the NIV has said it, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. To allow a period of anger to be unreasonably prolonged is to give the devil a foothold. Read that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Here's something to remember. Anger is just one letter short of danger. Okay, so what can we learn from Jesus' teaching? Number one, anger can lead to sin. And so we should be careful not to let our anger control us. We should strive to manage our anger in a healthy way. Secondly, reconciliation is important. We should seek reconciliation with others, even if it means setting aside our own pride. We should be willing to apologize and make amends. Third point, forgiveness is essential. We should forgive others, even if it means forgiving them multiple times. We should strive to let go of anger and bitterness and choose forgiveness instead. Anger can become sinful when it is motivated by pride. Look at James chapter 1, verse 20. When pride gets in the way, it becomes unproductive and it distorts God's purposes. Jesus' teaching on anger reminds us that anger leads to this sin, and it's harmful to us. So we have to strive to manage our anger. Remember, anger is just one letter short of danger, as I mentioned before. I think Mark Twain sums it up really well when he says, "Anger is an asset that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." I like what Thomas Jefferson says too. He says, "When angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, 100. Folks, this is really something that, you know, we all struggle with, including myself. I get angry sometimes at myself because I drop something. And I'm thinking, why do I drop things? You know, as we get older, those things happen and we have to realize it. And sometimes we look for opportunities to be angry instead of looking for opportunities to not be angry. That's a good reverse role to fall into. You have a blessed day.